Organized Chaos, presented by ADT, Brilliantly Safe. Flagel and Perk, a new ESPN podcast led by its namesake, former NFL veteran analyst Marcus Spears, a.k.a. Swagoo, and NBA champion and analyst Kendrick Perkins. Spears and Perk will bring listeners the latest NBA and NFL news, as well as a look inside their life's career journey with can't-miss conversations and welcome in top sports and celebrity guests. That's Swagoo and Perk. Listen wherever you get your podcast, and also available on ESPN YouTube channel.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Justin Herbert is a future star as he outshines the future Hall of Famer Ben Roethlisberger. Just when you thought the Steelers had done something they had never done in over 200 games by trailing by 17, they take the lead 27 points in the fourth quarter, only to be outdone. Brandon Staley bailed out by his young quarterback, going for it on fourth down to his own territory, getting the lead taken, and I'm out of breath even thinking about it. The Pittsburgh Steelers go to 5-3-1. The Chargers stay alive in the division, 5-4, as they keep their playoffs hopes alive. Justin Herbert, 30-41 for 382. No Minkah Fitzpatrick comes back to bite the Pittsburgh Steelers defense right in the butt. Wow, what an amazing game. Justin Herbert also 9 carries for 90 yards as he led the team in rushing. What can't this young man do? I'm Bart Scott. This is Organized Chaos. I'll be joined by Rex Ryan as always. Man, do we have a lot to talk about.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan. Rex, I tell you what, never a lack of drama in the NFL. Let's start with the Super Bowl favorite, Buffalo Bills, as they were manhandled, I mean, destroyed by a more physical football team. And I want to start with this. Is the Colts a sneaky team if they're able to get their way back into the tournament?
Bart, I'd have to say, oh, hell yeah. Like, they are legit. It's almost like they're like, remember the role the Titans had a couple of years ago? The team you don't want to play in the playoffs? I think the Colts are that team. I expect the Titans to win that division because they're so far ahead, but you don't want to play the Colts. And why? Because they're so damn physical. You talked about it. They're physical. They can run the hell out of the football. So to me, like, you know, and their defense, they create turnovers. They're multiple in what they do defensively. And let's face it, Buffalo can't run the football. They refuse to run. Maybe they can run it, but they refuse to run it. Kansas City refuses to run the football. And those two type teams are going to have trouble against this style of defense that the Colts play. And especially when they can run the ball down your throat, like they've been short. How about that? Jonathan Taylor. 5 touchdowns in this game. Like, that's absolutely crazy.
Now, it's crazy. Now, when you talk about 5 touchdowns and, you know, he's the first running back to 1,000 yards, should we start talking about him maybe potentially because all these quarterbacks are up or down? Should he be the first non-quarterback MVP candidate? Because with 8 games to go, and if he continues at this pace, he'll be close to 2,000 yards.
Yeah, Bart. I mean, he has to be. And look at it. His team – usually, when you talk MVP, that player generally is on one of the top teams in the league. And if the Colts end up having that kind of record, then yes. And the other thing I'll say, too, is you've got to be – you mentioned 2,000 yards. I think if he's close to 2,000 yards, then yes, he's in that conversation.
Now, on the other side, you talk about the Buffalo Bills. You know, we thought that this was the team that was going to push Kansas City. This was the team that had the MVP candidate. Why are they struggling of late, and why particularly do they struggle against teams like the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts?
Because they're not physical, and I think that's why they're struggling, Bart. And look, is this Buffalo Bills team any different than the last few years? Like, you know what I mean? Maybe we kind of over – and I'm guilty of it. Maybe we – thought that this defense was better than they were. You know, their rankings, number one in the league in dang every category, top 5 in run defense. Yet when a team, you know, pushes them, and like Tennessee ran all over them, the Colts ran all over them. So maybe they're not as good as we think.
That was crazy, right? Remember, like, styles make fights. And I believe that what they did was built their team to be able to compete with Kansas City. But I think what they failed to realize is they have to get to Kansas City first. And remember how when we were a member of the Jets, we were a member of the Ravens, we were one of the only teams that can beat New England. The Pittsburgh Steelers could never beat New England, so they always needed us to beat them. And we struggled because our style was equal to theirs, and we struggled with them because they always had a superior quarterback. Most defenses and run games, everything else was similar. But whenever they played the Patriots, they can never beat the Patriots because they decide they always wanted to keep their linebackers on the field, which played right into New England's hands because they were too stubborn. Is this kind of that as well? Like, do the Buffalo Bills need somebody to beat the bully teams like the Ravens, who can beat either the Colts or beat the Bills, meaning beat the Titans, and then the Bills can beat the Ravens?
Right. You know, it's funny because, you know, you're right, Bart. Like, when we were looking at it, we knew we had to beat the Patriots. We knew we had to build a team that could beat the Patriots and the Colts, because you had Peyton Manning and you had Tom Brady. So how do you do it? Well, we got to bully these guys. And you're right. The bad thing is, when we would face a team that wasn't, you know, that was kind of like us, you know, you mentioned with Ben Roethlisberger and Pittsburgh beating us, we did have a tougher time matching up with that type of team. So you're right. But I think you're 100%. Buffalo, they're not going anywhere if the Colts or the Titans and even the Ravens are still alive, because those teams can bully them and punish them and push them around. Even if the game's in Buffalo, who cares? That almost plays into their hand a little bit, you know, if the wind's howling and all that type of stuff. They don't have to throw the ball. They can put it in the belly of their running back and bludgeon you. And I think that's kind of – that is the Achilles heel of this Buffalo team right now. And it has been for years.
That's a crazy thing, right? We've been banging the drum for the Tennessee Titans. And – today, they lose to arguably the worst team in the NFL, in the Houston Texans, right? But understand that it's a divisional opponent. But, I mean, you talk about Ryan Tannehill, 4 turnovers. But what concerns me is A.J. Brown, even though he got all these big popcorn muscles, right? We've seen these guys with these big popcorn muscles. They look good, but they're always in the shot, right? They always hurt. It's like the guys with no muscles, like Hines Ward, Hines Ward, Anthony Mason. Yeah. Marquise, Doug Dougie. You know what I mean? They're always available. And remember what the narrative was before the season started. Julio Jones was like, hey, this is a bad narrative about me, that I can't stay healthy, that I'm not available. I am durable. And all of a sudden, AJ Brown gets hurt. You look at Julio's not even available. We still have 7 games left in the season. Yeah. Will the Tennessee Titans have enough available players, healthy enough, to be the team that we know they can be if they're completely healthy?
I tell you, the one way they can, because they're not going anywhere. I said no team could afford to lose a player more than the Tennessee Titans when they lost Derrick Henry. I thought he was the most valuable player on a football team, and their team's going nowhere without him. Well, we're starting to see that, aren't we? That all of a sudden Tannehill, now all of a sudden he throws 4 picks. Yeah, because they don't have that big monster back there. But the one way Tennessee can do it is if Derrick Henry comes back. And if he does, if he's healthy when the playoffs come rolling around, I don't care where they're seated. Nobody in their right mind are going to want to play Derrick Henry fresh. Like, that could be scary, but that's the only way they're going anywhere.
Wouldn't this be a good matchup if Derrick Henry comes back fresh and all of a sudden the Colts are the team that they match up with in the postseason? And now the king of the rush is Jonathan Taylor, who's just as physical, maybe not as physical as King Henry, but, man, he's making a case with that home run speed that he can be more valuable because he can do more things in a passing game. That'd be a tremendous matchup. But, you know, understanding that all that stuff has to come together. but it's looking like it's starting to shape up. We're starting to get a picture of who are the contenders and who are the pretenders. You know, so it's going to be interesting, man. And one team that may be a contender, but I don't really know, is the Minnesota Vikings. Now, they're getting healthy. Cook, this Justin Jefferson kid is special. Feeling on the outside. And they take down the baddest man on the planet. And concern alert. His toe, he says he's in agonizing pain, Rex. And you know me and you have more history with the big toe, with my reconstruction of my big toe. That thing doesn't get healthy, and you can't push off. I tell anybody, it's like playing without a thumb. Try and do anything without a thumb. You can't push off. You can't go laterally. And they let one get away with from themselves and also put themselves in grave danger of not being able to have the best overall record. As you see Dallas fall, but now without Kyler Murray, it still looks like the Cardinals are in the driver's seat to be the team that has the best record in the NFC.
Well, it's funny. And remember Jonathan Ogden, one of the greatest tackles in the history of the game. His career, he retired because of turf toe.
Yeah.
Like, oh, your point is that, and you're right. You know, like we know what that does. That can ruin a career and things. You know, I won't get into the fact that I play with my wife's big toe, but that's another story. Minnesota is the only team in the National Football League that has, in every single game, has led by at least a touchdown in every single game. Yeah. So are they legit? Yes, but they got to start winning these close games. And the fact they got a big one today, they finally – you know, won a close game, but they almost.
What time was it? What time was it, Rex? Because I talked about this all week.
Prime time, Bart. You called it. If it's prime time, they lose that game.
Kirk Cousins, I don't know if the narrative is legit, but I tell you what, 1 o'clock Kirk Cousins is amazing, man. 1 o'clock Kirk Cousins, I believe in. 4:05, 8 o'clock, 8:20. You can chalk it up as an L. But this team is right there. This team is right there. With the extra game and extra team going, this thing is still wide open. I still don't know who to trust. I mean,
And you're right. But when Dalvin Cook's healthy, and you mentioned Justin Jefferson, if he's not one of the this is an easy top five receiver in the league. Look, Thielen, everybody he made several Pro Bowls. He's just guy compared to Justin Jefferson. Like, this kid is
8 for 169, Rex. 8 for 169.
Yeah. And if you're drafting right now, do you take Justin Jefferson first if you're looking for a receiver?
I'm taking him before Stephon Diggs, I tell you that much.
Yeah, absolutely. So to me, it's they got an absolute legit team. You know, their defense is better this year than they've been the last couple of years. So yeah, I think they're in the hunt for playoffs. I really do.
Talk about 5-5. I think we won't be crazy enough to think that at 8-3 that they have a chance to catch Green Bay. But they have a chance to get in the postseason. Whenever you can run the ball, you have a decent defense, you're always going to have an opportunity. Speaking about running the ball, man, you talk about a late scratch from the matchup in Chicago. The Monsters of the Midway, they're not. You know, Khalil Mack is done. And I listen, before the season was over, I said, listen, they haven't won anything with Khalil Mack. I thought they should have traded him to a contender and try to get pieces for the future. Now he's having surgery. You know, pass rushers and foot surgery, you never know how they're going to bounce back. He's not a spring chicken anymore. Now, he's not old by any stretch of the imagination. He should be technically hitting the pinnacle, but I just don't know if their timeline to win and his timeline of being great matches up, and I thought they should have got rid of him. With that being said, Lamar Jackson was a late scratch for an illness. I always get concerned when I hear illness. The fact that, you know, this has been going a while, you know, understand that Lamar is not vaccinated, because I feel like we're gonna miss out on somebody, and it wasn't COVID, but we're gonna miss out on somebody in the postseason because of close contact, or somebody's gonna, you know, have COVID, and I get concerned that, you know, at this point of the season, you know, the Ravens can't afford to miss any games. With that being said, the young man comes out, balls out Tyler Huntley, and manufactures a game-winning drive in a game that was ugly. Justin Fields gets knocked out the game. Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, comes in, who has history on killing the Ravens, comes in, big pass, and Huntley has to come in and lead a drive, capped off with Freeman. The Ravens get an ugly victory, but the Ravens are accustomed to winning that way.
Yeah, and that's it. Good teams are always the lucky teams. You know, the Ravens find a way to get a win. Bart, the reason I go back to when we were in Baltimore together and we had that Ohio State quarterback, what was his name?
Troy Smith.
And all of a sudden, he gets some kind of
virus.
He loses like 20-some pounds.
Yeah.
We're forced to play Joe Flacco. Might have been the best thing that happened to him.
Yeah, we were going to play the Rams, and Troy Smith was sick on the plane, had some type of intestinal virus where he had to get IVs for a month, lost 20 pounds in like 3 days, and Joe Flacco only led us to 11-5.
Yeah, or whatever. That was 06. We should have won the whole damn thing that year, but that's another story. But it's amazing how, you know, opportunities show up for somebody, and there's some guys that are ready for it, some that aren't. Tyler Huntley certainly isn't going to be confused with Lamar Jackson. But what I was impressed with, when they needed it most, that guy was there and he gutted it out and hit the big pass to Sammy Watkins. I mean, they were playing without several guys. Hollywood Brown's not playing, down to their fifth string tailback. And yet, what do we say? Damn, the Ravens find a way to win another one. And yeah, the definition of winning ugly is the Baltimore Ravens, and they're just fine with that.
Now, that pulls up a great point. Like, I think that maybe Harbaugh is getting overlooked for the job that he's done. Now, remember, he loses three of his top running backs in a span of like a week and a half before the season starts. They have a bad loss against the Raiders. They have a bad loss against the Bengals. But other than that, I mean, you talk about they're 7-3. And today they played without their top receiver, without their MVP candidate quarterback. And you hear all these, you know, accolades and all these, great adjectives being said about all these other coaches. But why is Harbaugh not even mentioned in the Coach of the Year conversation?
He's not right now, but he will be at the end of the year. Because anybody that watched Baltimore knows how ugly they are. Like,
they don't have Ronnie Stanley. They don't have their $100 million left tackle.
Exactly. But here's one thing they do have. Justin Tucker.
Yes. Like,
and I know we're going to say he's not the best kicker of all time. He's the second best. I don't know.
Who's the first?
The
don't say Adam Vinatieri.
The guy that kicked five field goals against us one time, that Vinatieri.
Yeah, Adam Vinatieri. But,
and he makes a kick in the snow and all that type of stuff. But Justin Tucker, to me, it's funny because all these other teams attempt field goals. Justin Tucker's making it. Everybody in the ballpark knows he's going to make it. I don't care what the distance. Ask the Detroit Lions when he hit him for 66 in the heart. So to me, it's funny, but you winning games with just freaking heart and the best kicker on the planet. So, you know, but eventually you hope you get some of these running backs back. Marcus Peters is a huge loss to their defense. Yeah. And they're getting done. No Stanley, all-pro left tackle. Like, it's crazy. The hit list goes on and on, yet the Ravens keep winning. And it is amazing. And they knock, you know, poor Justin Fields out of the game. The Red Rifle comes in there, and he throws a couple balls. I don't know what happened on that one coverage, but I could have made that throw. The guy was open by 40 yards. But either way, and it seems like once a game, something like that happens to the Raven defense where they lose.
Yeah, the wheel route last week against Miami, guy wide open up the sideline.
I don't know why they're doing it. So they're not hitting on all cylinders on defense. They're not hitting on all cylinders on offense. Yet when they do, they're going to be scary as hell.
Tell you what, man, you talk about, I think, Malik, I forget his name, the other linebacker that got shot during the bye week in his calf. and he was playing better than their first round draft pick, Patrick Queen. You know, they have to figure out a way to slow the game down for this kid, because we know he's a much better player than what he's been displaying. Sideline to sideline in college, downhill physical. They got to get him coached up, man. But it's tough sledding in there right now. You know, Superman, it was a Superman sighting today, Rex. I don't know if you knew that. Superman came back home and Superman started.
Yeah, he would have been. If he would have pulled that off, I would have given him his cape, because – how the hell do you go from being on your couch 10 days ago to being a starting quarterback in the NFL and then really doing some things? Like, he learns a brand new system. It's not like he knew this system. It's the same team, Carolina, but a completely different offensive system. So, I mean, obviously Cam is really smart. You know, there's a lot of things about him, but this would have blown me away if they would have pulled this one off. But at the end of the day, look, he ain't what he used to be, you know, as a thrower, certainly.
Yeah.
And doesn't have the speed he once had as a runner, but I'll be dang, he still can make plays.
I mean, he still averaged 4.6 yards as a carrier. You know what I mean? So we know he's got those long strides. He may not be as Sutton as he used to be, but it's crazy, right? Because the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. And sometimes the worst place to be in life and in sports are in the middle. And I look at Tyler Heinicke. He's not. He has a little special oomph to himself, and he's winning enough games, but I don't think he's a starting quarterback in this league. But because he's playing the way that he's playing, I think the Washington football team may hold on to him and may let him go in to next year as a starter. Would that be a mistake?
No, here's the way I look at it. You know who he reminds me of? Ironically?
Who's that?
Ryan Patrick. Ryan, they bring Ryan Fitzpatrick in to be the starter, and they got that already ready in Taylor Heinicke. He's the same damn guy. You know what I mean? They got a little bitty arm, and they got all this stuff, but he makes it work. The one thing they are, he's gunslinger, and he's fearless and competitive, and that's what you say about both those guys. And so, yeah, I could definitely see him saying, hey, we're going to go with Heinicke as our guy.
But in a draft with no quarterbacks,
right? Like,
should they put all their stock into maybe, you know, we watched once again, the Seattle Seahawks in a Legion with no boom, goes down, and Russell Wilson got to see the writing on the wall. If you can't beat the Cardinals without DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray, when are you ever going to beat the Cardinals?
Yeah, you just got beat by Colt McCoy, and by the way, Colt McCoy beat you with the Giants last year. the Seahawks don't want to see Colt McCoy. And we know who Colt McCoy is, right? He's a backup quarterback. The thing that scares me is, look, we got the rest of the season to see Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's always been an elite guy, been fantastic. But we have to be honest. What have we seen the last 2 weeks is a quarterback that's far from elite. So he's got to get that back. Being that guy, and for how the hell did they not get the ball to DK Metcalf? I'm still, they got to get him the ball more,
and they got to get him a sports psychiatrist, man, because his anger issues and him not being able to harness his emotions reminds me of a lot of T.O. Right, where he gets into bully ball, he gets so easily distracted, you can get him out of his game if you get in his head. But once again, this Legion of Boom, man, I don't know what the hell Ken Norton has on Pete Carroll. You give up 328 yards passing to Colt McCoy? Like, I just don't get it. So I don't know how Russell Wilson can say, hey, I want to stay within his division. It's not a player or draft pick that you can get that's going to, I think, close the gap between Seattle and San Francisco, Seattle and the Cardinals, Seattle's and the Rams. Yeah. I just think, listen, Russell Wilson may want to get out while the getting is still good, because he still has some good years left in him. I just don't know if this team is at a point where they can surround him with enough talent to compete within that division.
Well, it was interesting. They traded two first-round picks for a safety.
Oh, now, that keeps getting better and better, right?
You know, was a great player, but are you kidding me? For two first-round picks? They don't trade for a safety unless it's Ronnie freaking Lott. You know, he was a corner also. But, like, you don't do that. Maybe Ed Reed. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they thought this kid was Adrian Wilson because he's basically a blitzing linebacker, Right. And he hasn't helped their defense one bit. Their defense, he's actually a liability in pass game. He's a candidate to me to become like Keanu Neal and become a weak side linebacker, which should be his natural spot where he can match up against running backs. But listen, the Jets are loving the fact that Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks are struggling because now they have two picks within the top eight. And that pick, I don't know what pick is going to be better. I don't know if the Jets pick is going to be better or if the Seahawks pick is going to be better. But I tell you what, it doesn't matter. They both benefit the New York football Jets.
Yeah, absolutely. And, hey, speaking of the Jets, man, I had a hell of a conversation with our guy Robert Saleh, who, you know, and you know me, I'm going to be brutally freaking honest. But they were freaking awful, you know.
When keeping it real goes wrong.
That, you know, well, how bad's that defense? That defense gave up 175 points in a four-game stretch. Now, putting that in perspective, that's 10 points more than the 2000 Ravens gave up the entire season. So, yes, of course, I was on it. But I'm going to say this. When I talk to him, you talk about some of those draft picks. This man has a vision for this football team. And, I mean, I'm just telling you, I liked him. And the more it was like, he's got a damn, you know, like, shoot, I like this plan. I want my, you know, I was like, shoot, like, I want my kid to, you know, to play for him or whatever. Like, that's kind of the vibe I got from him. And don't think for a second he doesn't know what's coming around the corner. And did they hit on Carter, the running back?
Absolutely.
Absolutely is a hit.
Elijah Moore. Yes.
You know, does he look like a hit? And I'm telling you, in due time, Jet fans, the biggest hit is going to be on the quarterback. Now, he's got to prove it. I get him.
Vera Tucker may be the best out of all of them.
What's that?
Elijah Vera Tucker may be the best out of all of them. So they have three slam dunks in the first, you know, in this draft. They have to find a way to get Mekhi Becton going. And I don't know if their scheme fits his massive. He's built like Jason Peters, man. And like, he's not Trent Williams. He's never going to be Trent Williams, even though he can run. He's massive. And I think he should be more in a gap scheme than anything.
Bart, isn't he built like a right tackle?
Yeah, no, absolutely. He played right tackle before, but they have Morgan Moses over there, which I think Morgan Moses is a damn good right tackle.
He is, but that's the thing. Fant is doing a great job at left
tackle. No sacks. Yeah, no sacks.
No sacks. What you want? You want a guy that can keep my quarterback clean. But if Becton comes back, eventually, you know, he's got to move to right tackle. And Moses is a good one-year get. Or whatever, and it'd be great to have him. He'd be great depth there, but Becton is, to me, he's built like a perennial Pro Bowl,
like Orlando Brown,
Lane Johnson. You're right. You're hitting it on the head. That's what you
want. John Runyon.
You know, so to me, that's what you do. But I wouldn't throw Fan away and giving up a sack.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of positives with this group. We get it. There's only two wins. We get it, but I ain't ready to give up on, especially after I talked to Saleh, because they may have got this head coach right also.
Well, I'll tell you what, it looked like today, you know, I know they lost, but it looks like today he was more himself on the sideline. I don't know if that's because of the conversation that you guys had, and maybe you share some experience with what it is to coach in this environment. And like I try to tell everybody all week, we get paid for our opinions, right? And me and you have always been one of the people that's going to say it how it is. And we're not trying to tiptoe around people's feelings, because we're saying what we believe. And just know, if we say it, we believe it. Now, it's up to you to prove us wrong, but it's no fit. This is big boy. This is a big boy business. Like, if you give up those type of yards, they were only 11 points from breaking the record, by the way. Right. The record, you know, I'm glad they don't have to have that stain, because we already have enough negative things. Put, you know, butt fumble, 45 point, all that type of stuff. We have enough of those for the Jets. So I'm glad we don't have to make room for another one. But, you know, I guess it's good that you guys were able to hash it out. But he has to understand it. It's different. Everybody thinks that they understand what it's like to play in this market. Until you get here, you have no freaking idea.
No, and that's right. Here's a first-time head coach, and anywhere, never been to the big, you know, never been here in New York. And let's face it, the media is going to treat the Jets differently than they treat the Giants, even though it's in the same market. Believe me, it's the truth. But having that conversation with him, I think, did put him at ease, because I've been in that chair. And yeah. So as a voice of experience, and you're right, he just needs to be himself. And that's why the fans wanted to embrace him. That's why I wanted the Jets to hire him in the damn first place, you know, to be the guy we saw on the sideline. But I can tell you, so hopefully better things are around the corner. I will say this, they got to get the young quarterback healthy. And once he's healthy, how this the rest of the season plays out, we got to get him up to speed the same way Elijah Moore got up to speed, the same way Tucker, you know, Vera Tucker is, and the same way that Carter is, a running back. If he does, this team's going to be making, you know, instead of be the butt of jokes, it's going to be the other way around.
Tell you what, Rex, I need to go get some Kool-Aid, man. But when we come back, how about those cheese? And we'll break down a little bit of the Thanksgiving games, man, because my dad stuffing is always ruined because we got to watch the Lions on a holiday.
Dad, stop it. Give me some dang green bean casserole and let's call it good.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan. Rex, the 4 o'clock games led by the game of the millennium, the game of the century, the game of the decade. Oh, what a dud. How about those Chiefs? Are they back, Rex?
I'd say they're back. And the reason I say it is ever since they came away and realized their brilliant idea of making Chris Jones a defensive end was a disaster. As soon as they brought him back in to play D tackle, he's been an absolute beast. In there, 3.5 sacks in this game. Then he has the deflection to win the game at the end there on the interception. But they're a different defense when he's in there. And when you got a guy that can collapse the pocket, play the run the way Chris Jones can, makes a difference. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't that impressive of an offensive showing by Kansas City. But to me, yeah, I think they are trending in the right direction on being back. I still don't think they're as good as what we've seen the last 2 years, but we'll see. We got, what, 7 more games to find out.
Yeah, you talk about living right, Rex. Like, living right, how about going against the Giants with absolutely Giants having absolutely nobody available, yep. Right? How about going against the Green Bay Packers with Jordan Love?
Jordan Love, broker.
How about going against the game of the century? This was billed as the game of the season, right? A Super Bowl preview. Ezekiel Elliott gets beat up. Amari Cooper in the protocol. CeeDee Lamb gets knocked out with a concussion. Tyron Smith's not there. Like, so it's like, yes, they won. But, man, I want to see them fight somebody and go against somebody at full strength. Because so then I can kind of see where the measuring stick, see what this team really is. Because right now I still have absolutely no idea. All I know is that Dallas defense is not world beaters, and they still suppress the Kansas City Chiefs a little bit, right? It was able to get them out of there, what, 5 straight drives where they didn't do anything. And listen, I know that, you know, the defense looked good, and okay, Chris Jones got a sack on the great Zach Martin. But, man, I'm still not buying. I'm not buying it, Rex. I am not sold. And I don't think we're not going to realize they go against a real team in a postseason.
Well, and that's it. But I think they're going to get to the postseason. Remember, there were people questioning, will they make the postseason? I'm like, yes, they're going to make it. But, you know, am I going to say they're going to make the Super Bowl? No, I can't say that. No way can I say that. But, and let's face it. You know, we mentioned all those offensive weapons missing from Dallas. Dallas is also missing their 2 top pass rushers. So, you know, and Lawrence and
Gregory. Greg.
So, yeah, you're right. You know, it was kind of like us playing Indianapolis when they didn't have
when they put Painter in there.
We pulled them out. We beat them out by 2 touchdowns.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you, Peyton. The
third quarter, we're like, yeah, thank goodness.
We should have sent Peyton some Christmas cards that year.
And I think I did.
So it's crazy, man, because I'm trying to figure out who they are. But listen, they won 4 straight. Spagnuolo can take credit, say they look a little better. And then you go down to the other 4 o'clock game of importance. And listen, we've been there, right? We came out hot with Sanchez. And then we lost three in a row. But then we kind of got our feet underneath us. And when I looked at the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, understanding the psyche of what it's like to be a Bungle, like you win, you start feeling yourself, then they lose a tough game to the Jets, come back, get destroyed against the Cleveland Browns because Joe Burrow wants to throw the ball everywhere. He had all these turnovers. Go on a bye week, come back and beat the Raiders. I think the Bengals we can believe in, right? Because I believe in that quarterback. I believe in that running game. I believe in those receivers. And Trey Henderson is in that defense, played scrappy. They played well. They're just as good as anybody. Now, they may not be the top tier of the AFC, but, man, we're looking at Buffalo, looking at the Chargers, looking at the Steelers, looking at the Ravens. I think they're about as complete as anybody else.
Yeah, and you know, it is funny because the Bengals, they, you know, they're better when they're balanced. So when they get Joe Mixon running the football, you know, they can get it done. And you're right, that defense, you know, it looked a hell of a lot better today than it did against the Jets when they gave up that Mike White 400 yards passing. But at the same time, I still don't believe in them. I don't think they're elite. However, they're with their quarterbacks going to give them a puncher's chance for sure. The team that I think that we're not really talking about that has changed their MO, I think the most, is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, they came out of nowhere.
Here's what happened. They're throwing the ball every damn snap, right? Then all of a sudden they decide, well, shoot, people are criticizing us for not running the ball and all that. They start running the ball, and a funny thing happens. They start winning games. This is three games in a row they've rushed the ball for over 240 yards. Three games in a row. And what's happening? They're winning. They beat the Saints. They beat the hell out of the Saints in this one.
Oh, how the mighty has fallen, Rex. How the mighty have fallen. Trevor Siemian. I mean, when I said before, I was like, I didn't know why they didn't reach out to Cam Newton if Taysom Hill was going to do what he was going to be doing. Right. Because Trevor Siemian, we know who he is, man. Like, he's not even a top-tier backup. He's a middle-of-the-pack backup, right? You would go Colt McCoy, Chase Daniels. You would go Flacco. Like, it's a lot of people that – hell, I'll go Minshew Mania before I go Trevor Siemian. I know he's smart. He went to Northwestern and all that stuff. But I'm not asking somebody to do my taxes. I'm asking somebody to come help me win some damn football games. And, like, I don't know how they're going to do it. So, I mean, Jameis Winston coming off ACL surgery, they have a lot of questions there. You know, Michael Thomas, his huge contract. You got Alvin Kamara. He's been banged up, not in there. I think they might not even make the postseason now if they're going to continue looking like they're looking.
It's funny because I picked the Eagles in that game because I was like, this is the one team that I know can run the ball against the Saints. Normally, everybody talks about how great that Saint run defense is, but I'm like, hey, wait a second. I saw him gain 256 yards last year in Jalen Hurts' first start. So I knew that was a potential problem in this matchup. But, yeah, I mean, they got to get – I'm not ready to bury him yet, but they've got to get Alvin Kamara back. If they don't get Kamara back healthy, they're going nowhere. With a healthy Alvin Kamara gives them a chance.
I mean, you talk about, listen, I know they made it competitive at the end. They, you know, the Saints scored 22 points in the fourth quarter. Right. But, I mean, you talk about this was a butt whooping. By halftime, it was 27-7. So, I mean, you know, you take your feet off the gas a little bit. Trevor Siemian's a turnover machine. I hate that they, you know, look at Davenport and what he was supposed to be when they traded for him with the first round draft pick. He hasn't panned out, but this isn't a team that has a lot of flexibility with the salary cap. Now, maybe that changes next year, but, man, they got some people they got to pay as well.
Yeah, no, and you never know when it happens. You know, sometimes you have an opportunity, a window to win, to be Super Bowl competitors, but eventually that window disappears. And is that the case with the Saints? We're going to find out.
Now, Rex, we got a short week this week, right? We got a short week. You know, tomorrow's going to be capped off with Tampa Bay and the Giants. And this is a scary game, man, because the Giants and Danny Dimes always play Tampa very, very well. Tampa's still banged up. I don't know if Gronk's going to be back. AB, I think he's already been ruled out.
Yeah.
You know, Tampa's lost two in a row. I don't think Tom Brady's ever lost three in a row, not since 2002. It's going to be interesting to see if they can avoid it because the Giants are healthy. I don't know if Saquon's back. What do you think is going to happen in this game?
Well, Saquon better be back, man. He's had a month off or whatever the hell he's had off, being on my the leader of my freaking fantasy team. Out on that field, we need you. But Galladay healthy, all right? Slayton healthy. All those dang receivers.
Shepard.
Exception of Shepard is not healthy. But everybody else, Ingram and all that. Let's see what Daniel Jones can do. And you're right. He's not scared. Nobody's scared of this Bucs defense right now. So Daniel Jones needs to have a huge game here. And they have a chance. The Giants have an absolute legit chance at Tampa Bay in this game. I believe it. And look, we saw, you know, how much Brady needs, you know, Antonio Brown, how much he needs Gronk. And if Gronk, you know, hopefully he'll come back. It's Monday night. He loves that kind of stage. Then he'll be one to watch. But no Antonio Brown, that's a big problem.
Man, that secondary, too, is porous. And if Danny Dimes could ever pick on a secondary, especially if they – you know something's going wrong when they got beat – when you got Vita Vea dropping back playing three-receiver hook. Yeah. He out there looking like Rikishi. You know what I mean? He's a fish out of water. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be coming on a shallow cross, I'll tell you that much.
Ooh.
But, but also, man, we got a unique, right? This is a tradition. And I'm glad they've added the third game, right? I'm glad they've added the third game on Thanksgiving, man, because I was, you know, that Lions game just every year, man, my dad just has miserable indigestion, acid reflux, all that, because one thing we can guarantee is that the Lions are going to lose. But on a short week, this scrappy team, they went tit for tat with your boy Baker Mayfield. He squeaked out a victory. Man. To the backup. We didn't even touch that. I don't even know if we want to mess with that today. Yeah. But the fact that they barely beat the Lions and they had the backup, Jared Goff wasn't even playing, is crazy. But I tell you what, the Lions could get their first victory against the Chicago Bears, a divisional opponent. You talk about a national stage. Justin Fields got the messed up ribs. Maybe Andy Dalton starts. Do you think the Lions can get the first victory of the year?
I think they can. I really do. And part of it, it's going to be, look, it's tough sled. But Detroit, the last few weeks, has said, to hell with it. We're running the ball. Then we're going to run it. And we're going to run it again. And yes, it's ugly football. All right. But they're going to be in those ugly throwback unis anyway. Keep making it look like, you know, Dick Nitrane Lane's out there and you know, playing defense.
Alex Kerrigan.
Yeah, Alex Karras out there, defensive tackle. And you know, but – and it doesn't matter if George Plimpton's your quarterback. And all you young guys are like, who the hell is that? Read Paper Lion. It's a freaking great book. I recommend it to you. About some, you know, just some writer that decides he's going to be a quarterback for the Detroit Lions and do a training camp. It's fascinating stuff. A great read, by the way. George Plimpton was an awesome writer. However, and about the, you know, one of maybe five books I've ever read in my life. So I want to give you a heads up on that one. However, I'm going to be at that game. And yes, I want to see the damn Lions win. I think it would be great. And it doesn't matter. You know,
you gonna give him a pep talk, Rex, or are you gonna talk to him in a hotel? Are you gonna give him go get a damn snack the day before?
It depends if they want me to, but believe me, I'll have a hell of a message for them if they do want me to. If not, no biggie. I'll watch the game and eat I can't say the word. I'll eat a bunch of turkey and all that stuff. But you know, I gotta have my green bean casserole. If I don't have green bean casserole, I ain't coming.
It's as simple. Well, you know what, Rex? You know you're going back to my hometown. If you want moms to bring you over some banana pudding, you know, she always, you know, down. She loves her some Rex Ryan. She'll make you a homemade banana pudding with the homemade meringue out of the egg whites. You know, that's not a problem. You just say the word, Rex. We'll get you what you need.
I used to see your mom all the time. And we in Baltimore days, we'd be like, oh, there's, how you doing, man? We would talk. And every time I saw her, I felt good about it. I hope I get to see her before the game. I'll feel good about it. Come on, Lions. You can get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one. Two teams that are in a unique situation coming off two losses. You talk about the Buffalo Bills and the Saints. You know, suddenly this is a must-win for both of them to try and keep – listen, the Patriots are creeping. They're creeping in that division. And And listen, the Bills cannot afford to lose this game, but neither can the Saints.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And the fact it's played in New Orleans is going to make it tougher. But, yeah, Buffalo, what the heck are you doing, man? Like, and they've been getting – I mean, they got beat by the Jags, number one. It's ridiculous. But they got destroyed in this game. I mean, the Colts absolutely pummeled them. So they got to bounce back. And New Orleans is not exactly the easiest team to win against. But they have to. And the fact you talk about how, you know, here they come, the Patriots sneaking in this, race. Hell, they went ahead of Buffalo. It's absolutely crazy.
So, yeah, and you know, what's crazy, too, because the fact that when you look at the teams that the Bills have lost to, they're teams that play like the Patriots.
Yeah.
Stymie defense and running the ball downhill. So, I mean, I don't know, man. This would be some type of coaching thing. Listen, they're going to have to split one and hope that Tennessee can help them out, but they cannot afford to lose to the Saints. And finally, we talk about the Raiders. I don't know if we're ready to put dirt on them and bury them and declare them done. We know the Cowboys in that division, they're still going to – listen, they're too good. They're too talented. They'll figure it out. But is this a must-win for the Raiders? If the Raiders lose, do we just want to go out and have a eulogy for them and write an obituary and declare them contenders for next year?
They're pretty much done. And this is why you don't hire an interim head coach long-term. Because remember, everybody, it was a feel-good story when they won those two games.
Yeah.
Special team guy. And, oh, look at him. He's got the pulse of the team. Really? That's 3 weeks he damn sure doesn't look like he has it. So, yeah, I don't – they better win this one. If not, they're in deep, 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 deep trouble.
You know, I don't want to – listen, Rex, it's crazy, right? Because they're going to be looking for a new head coach. They have a lot of talent on that team, Rex.
They do.
If anybody embodies the attitude of a Raider, man, I can see you coaching that team and bringing some that black and silver and black. I mean, you talk about that's some thugged out, like we going to go out and we going to beat you or we going to mug you before the game, after the game. Like, oh, man, like, is that something that you would, like, consider? Like, the Raiders is a prestigious, like, legacy type of job. And you know, like, the little bowl cut man, you know, he understands that. You know what I mean? And
yeah, he does. And I think at one time he was interested in me being a head coach there at one time. But if that ever happened, I'd have to put the patch over one eye, wouldn't I?
It's all good. You can put two patches on, and you can be like the Bird Box, the show that was on Netflix where you weren't allowed to look because you look at stuff, it's all bad. But, man, that would be a tremendous opportunity, a tremendous job. And that's the type of roster that I can just see you taking and just talk about ground and pound, like just some real Pirates. I can see that team looting. I can see that team looting then, just robbing people for everything.
You know the way I am, Bart. I will say this. The best thing about that they're in that black and silver because it's slimming. You know what I'm saying? I took the little lap band thing out many years ago, and oh boy, watch out, I'm coming back.
Oh, good, man. I tell you what, man, I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. This is another episode of Organized Chaos. Like I said before, and I say each and every week, Rex and I will be dropping a new podcast each NFL weekend from now until Super Sunday. You can always catch me from 12 to 3 on the Bart and Hines Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. And Rex, you can catch him every Sunday on NFL Countdown, spitting hot fire and all that knowledge. And Monday mornings on Get Up. Thanks for listening, Rex. Always a pleasure, man. See you next week. And if I don't talk to you before Thanksgiving, man, enjoy the food. And I make sure that you get that green bean casserole.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about, Bart. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy Thanksgiving to our listeners.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcast.